Sheikh Baqir Sharif Al-Qarashi decides to compile.
So we can consider Sayyid Hadi Khosro Shahi.
Shaheed Muhammad Baqir al-Sadr. He was born in Kadhimiya.
The first and the most important thing that we can learn from Allama Tabatabai is his great effort.
In this regard, I should like to say that one of the great benefits of the late Ayatollah Sayyid Mahmud Shahruddin was.
When we look at the works of late Rawzati, we see.
There is a famous sentence from Mirza Khalil Qamarani that he says in Farsi, Tuhid kalame baraye kalame tuhid.
Be more familiar with outstanding Shia figures in the teacher.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to the listeners of IRIB English Radio Call of Islam page. Well, welcome to another episode of the program The Teacher, an introduction into the thoughts and works of the most outstanding Muslim Shiite scholars and ulama. I am Atta, the host of this program. With me in the studio, we have two very special guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Shaykh Rouhani and Shaykh Fadai. Shaykh Rouhani, assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
And Shaykh Fadai, assalamu alaikum to you.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
So for today's discussion, we want to talk about one of the most outstanding Shiite scholars of the 12th and 13th century Hijra. He is no one but Sayyid Muhammad Mahdi Bahrul Ulum, a polymath, a true scholar who had mastery over different fields of studies, especially Islamic studies. He was, we can say, the custodian, or he was in charge of the Hawza Ilmiya for so many years. And he was a source of benefits for so many following generations of the Muslim and Shiite scholars. Shaykh Rouhani, let's start with you, brother. Give us some details about the early life and biography of Sayyid Muhammad Mahdi Bahrul Ulum.
Yes, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allama Sayyid Mahdi Bahrul Ulum was one of the greatest scholars and Shia Maraja in the 13th century. And of course, he was, as you rightly mentioned, he was expert and professional in different fields of studies, like jurisprudence, usul, or the principles of jurisprudence, and hadith, the traditions, and also kalam, theology, and tafsir, and rijal, and many other fields of studies. And he was one of the students and disciples of Ayatollah Wahid Behbahani and Mirza Muhammad Mehdi Khorasani. So they were the teachers of this great scholar in that century. And of course, this Allama Bahrul Ulum, he was born in Karbala, yes. But his forefathers, I think, were from other areas. They went to Karbala. And of course, his father was also one of, or his forefathers actually were among the great scholars and Shiite scholars in the history of Islam and Tashayyu. When it comes to some other scholars like Allama Majlisi and some other great scholars of Shia, they mention the name or the title of this Allama with a very great and, let's say, outstanding position and status among the ulama about this Allama al-Bahrul Ulum. So, of course, he was studied in Karbala and also, as I mentioned, it was one of the great students of Wahidi Behbahani and Mirza Muhammad Mehdi Khorasani, I mean. Yes, of course, he had lots of great students. Mm-hmm. They became later the great scholars.
That's right.
In the history.
The title, because he was male known as Tabatabai, but the title used for him was Bahrul Ulum. It means the ocean of knowledge, okay? So this is the main attribute given to him. It shows his scholarly status among the ulama on that time in the Hawza Ilmiya, Sheikh Fadai, isn't it?
Yeah, as you know, in the traditional Hawza, scholars used to study different parts of knowledge sciences, not just usul or fiqh, jurisprudence, principles of jurisprudence, different fields of studies. It was a habit, it was something that most of great scholars try to do that. Bahrul Ulum was like that.
Yes.
You know, as my brother mentioned, jurisprudence, principles of jurisprudence, hadith, kalam, tafsir, and rijal. And one of the interesting points is that he studied philosophy and taught that. You know, maybe at that time, studying philosophy in the traditional Hawza was not something usual and ordinary. Because in the traditional Hawza, philosophy was not called one of the major sciences. And some scholars, some great scholars, believe that this is haram,
yes,
to study philosophy.
Okay.
But he started to study that. He migrated to Mashhad,
yes,
and started to study philosophy. And as we can see in his biography, he was one of the greatest scholars in the fields of morality.
Yes.
You know, the combination of philosophy and morality, or we can say Irfan.
Yes.
That is what we can see in his life. So philosophy is not something in the opposite side of religion or morality.
Yes.
As some scholars, even now, some of them believe that philosophy,
yes,
will make you far from the way of Allah, or mm-hmm, make you far from the way of real morality.
And the main reason is that they think that the intellectual or the intellect of the human beings,
yeah,
must find mastery over religious ones, okay?
You know, and the title of Allama,
yes,
as we call him, Allama,
yes,
in Hausa, we call someone Allama when he studies and works in two parts of sciences. One of them, as we call it in Hausa, Nagli.
Yes.
Something which is narrated from our Imam,
yes,
and Prophet. This is Nagli.
Yes.
And Agli, something intellectual, which is philosophy.
Yes.
When the scholar is a great one in both sides,
mm-hmm,
Aql and Naql,
yes,
the narration and intellectual sciences.
Yes.
In this case, we call him Allama.
Yes.
Because of that, we call him Allama, because,
yes,
he was a master in both sides.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why he's an outstanding scholar from that time, studying philosophy and combining that with the narrative sciences like hadith and fiqh and usul.
That's right.
Something which was not ordinary at that time.
Mm-hmm. That's all right.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir. La ilaha illallah. La
ilaha illallah.
And we know that after the demise of Wahid Behbahani, and by the order, or better say by the request of Wahid Behbahani, he gets back to Iraq and now is the main custodian of Hauza Elmiya over there, the source of benefit for so many students, Sheikh Rouhani. What about his presence again in Iraq, and what about his teaching courses? It's also believed that he was an Ustaz, a professor of akhlaq, morality, and ethics. His ethical teachings and the courses were really outstanding too.
Allama Bahrul Ulum, or Sayyid Bahrul Ulum, when he returned to Najaf, he actually established the Hauza, or a kind of Islamic seminary or madrasa, and started teaching in Najaf, and actually he trained lots of great students. But one point that we can mention regarding the personality of this great scholar is this, that once he went to Hajj, for Hajj to Mecca,
yes,
in the Hijaz, or in Arab Peninsula, he started to teach the, let's say, different fiqh or jurisprudence of different madhahib,
yes,
different denominations, Islamic denominations. This is very much interesting that at that time there was no problem for a Shiite scholar to go, for example, to Mecca or Medina,
mm-hmm,
and start teaching the fiqh or madhahib, the other madhahib of Islam there.
Yes.
And it was a really a kind of good kind of communication between, let's say, the different denominations of Islam at that time. So it was one of the great things that was done by this Allama Bahrul Ulum. And the other important point that we should mention, it would be interesting for our audience and listeners, is this, that among his students, there were lots of great scholars. But you know that in the Shiite school of thought, one thing that is really interesting is that you are not allowed to narrate hadith and sayings of the infallibles and the Holy Prophet,
yes,
without having a kind of official or formal permission from the other great scholars.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
So when it comes to...
This is called Ijazah Rivayat.
Exactly. Yes, exactly.
Yes. Okay.
So that's why at that time, because they were might found many people who ascribed false things to the Holy Prophet or to,
yes,
the Imams. In order to control these, they first evaluated, for example, one of the scholars or some of their students after many years,
mm-hmm,
when they trusted them completely that, okay, now they are well qualified to narrate a hadith and sayings of the Holy Prophet and the Imams, then they permitted and allowed them to do that.
Mm-hmm.
For example, some of these students that he allowed them and permitted them to narrate a hadith like Sayyid Sadruddin Amili or Ja'far ibn Husayni Khansari and Ja'far al-Najafi,
yes,
and the other rest of these scholars. It is said that Allama Bahrul Ulum was such a great and outstanding scholar that among the students of him, some of them were of the same age.
Yes.
With Allama.
Like Kashaf al-Ghatta.
Exactly.
The outstanding scholar.
Right. But at the same time, they paid lots of
respect
to this Allama.
Right. Okay.
And this is very much interesting that some of them said that, like this Sheikh Ja'far said that,
mm-hmm,
if he is a marja, a mushtahid, so I am no one,
mm-hmm,
as compared,
right,
to him.
Okay.
So, yes. And of course.
Such a respect that they had for the teacher.
Exactly.
Especially, as you said, akhlaq, yes, and,
yeah,
ethics and morality of Sayyid Bahrul Ulum has affected so many of the generations after him. As you said, in his travel to Arab Peninsula, what is interesting is that there are some mawaqif over there, or stations for the hajis over there, okay? According to the historical knowledge that he had, he corrected some of the mawaqif over there. And this was very outstanding for a Muslim scholar from Iran, from Iraq, you know, to go over there and correct them. And as you said, has taught so many of the rulings of the other madhahib beside the Sunnah Sharia to them. This is outstanding. Okay, Sheikh Fadai, anything missed about Sayyid Bahrul Ulum?
I think one of the interesting points about his life is the unity between different denominations,
mm-hmm,
of Islam. As you see, he started to teach other denomination in Mecca or Medina. And although he was in charge of all Shias at that time,
yes,
you know, we can say that at his time, he was the greatest scholar.
Yes.
It means that the position of managing all Shia, and besides that, teaching other denominations.
Mm-hmm.
So it can teach us that although we are working on different kinds of knowledges in our religion, we can have a good life together with our brothers. Why not? You know, having a scientific discussion is something, but having a good life together, unity between Muslims, is something that we never should forget that.
Yes.
But nowadays, we can see that some people call the scholar, we cannot call them really scholar, they call themselves scholars, but always they seek to break this unity.
Yes.
If we are really scholar, Islamic scholar, we should know that one of the teachings of Ahlul Bayt is,
yes,
that,
yes,
the unity of Muslim.
That's right.
Something that we can learn from this great scholar very well.
Yes, that's all right. Okay, that's all right. Among the most outstanding works of Sayyid Bahrul Ulum, we can refer to Al-Masabih, Al-Durrat al-Najafiyah, Mishkat al-Hadaya, Fawaid al-Rajaliyah, Tuhfat al-Karam fi Tariq al-Makkah wa Bayt al-Haram. This was, we can say, kind of travelogue of Sayyid Bahrul Ulum. And also, there is a treatise on the spiritual wayfaring of Sayyid Bahrul Ulum. He was also an outstanding poet. So many outstanding poems regarding religious beliefs, you know, Shiite beliefs, are narrated from Sayyid Bahrul Ulum. About his demise, it is mentioned that it was the month of Rajab, 24th day of the month of Rajab, 12-12. According to the lunar Hijri calendar, he passed away at the age of 57. His body was taken into Sheikh Tusi Mosque in the holy city of Najaf, and he is buried by the tomb of, or beside the tomb of Sheikh Tusi in the holy city of Najaf. May Allah bless the soul of the outstanding scholar Sayyid Muhammad Mahdi Bahrul Ulum. And thank you very much, Sheikh Fadai.
You're welcome.
And Sheikh Rouhani for a nice elaboration regarding the life of Sayyid Bahrul Ulum. Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program The Teacher. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. To another episode and introducing another Shia dignitary, God bless you all. Fi amanallah. Allah.